the tale of Harry. Such ordinary things make me afraid. Hot sunny days, dark shadows on grass, children with red hair, and the name Harry. My daughter Christine was 5 years old. It was a hot sunny day and she was playing alone in the garden. I overheard her talking to someone. I went outside to see who it was, but there was nobody there. I was a bit puzzled. "Who were you talking to?" I asked. "Harry," she replied. "Harry who?" I asked again. She shrugged her shoulders. "Just Harry," she said. That evening, when my husband came home from work, I told him all about it. He said it was normal for kids that age to have imaginary friends. I tried to put it out of my mind, but something about that name, Harry, sent a shiver down my spine. The next day, Christine was playing in the garden again while I was in the kitchen. Again, I heard her talking to someone. When I looked out the window, I thought I could see a dark shadow on the grass. It resembled a person, but maybe it was just my eyes playing tricks on me. I tapped on the window and told Christine to come inside for dinner. "Can Harry come too?" she asked. "No," I said. "Harry has to stay outside."
"But he's hungry," she whined.
"Who is Harry?" I asked.
"He's my brother,"
she replied. "But you don't have a brother," I told her.
"Yes, I do," she insisted. "His name is Harry."
"Who told you that?" I inquired.
"Harry told me," she said.
My daughter spent every day in the garden talking to her imaginary friend. After a while, it began to worry me, so I took her to see a psychiatrist. All children need friends their own age, the psychiatrist told me. If they don't have friends, they invent them. It's a normal part of childhood. As soon as she starts school, she'll forget all about him. Talking to the psychiatrist reassured me, but I couldn't help feeling nervous. A few days later, Christine started school. I dropped her off in the morning for her first day, kissed her on the forehead and waved goodbye, then watched as she walked up to the front door of the school and went inside. There was something I had to do. I took a bus into the city and made my way to a large gray building. It had been 4 long years since I visited the building. It was the orphanage where we adopted Christine. The woman who ran the orphanage opened the door and invited me inside. I told her I needed to know about Christine's history, who her birth parents were, where were they now, and if they had died, and if so, how had they died? "I'm sorry," the woman said. "We have strict rules about divulging such information." I told her it was very important. I begged and pleaded. I even got down on my knees. Eventually, the woman gave in. "Very well," she said. "But this must remain strictly between the two of us." Christine was born into a very poor family. Her parents didn't want her. They were drug addicts and they neglected their children. The house they lived in was in terrible condition. One night, the mother and father got into a violent argument. The father grabbed a knife and ended up stabbing his wife to death. He cut off her head. Then he attacked the children. "Oh my God," I exclaimed. When the police arrived, it was all over. They found Christina in the garden, clutched in the arms of her brother. She was unharmed. Her brother, however, was dead. He had been fatally stabbed, and as he was dying, he managed to grab Christine to take her to safety. They found their father and mother inside the house. The father had taken his own life. My eyes were welling up with tears. "What was his name?" I asked in a trembling voice. "Her brother. What was his name?" "His name was Harry," the woman replied. I stumbled out of the orphanage in a daze. I wandered through the streets with no idea of where I was going. The name Harry was floating around in my brain. I felt like I was in a nightmare. I was so frightened, but I didn't know why. Then I looked at my watch. It was already after 3 o'clock. I had to pick up Christine from school, and I was already late. I hopped on a bus, and eventually, I arrived at the school. I walked down the hallway and went into the classroom, where I found the teacher gathering up her books. "I'm so sorry I'm late," I gasped. "Where is Christine?" "Christine?" the teacher said. "She's gone." "Gone?" I cried. "Yes, her brother picked her up a few minutes ago." My heart sank to my chest. Without any word, I ran outside and started shouting my daughter's name. I was running down the street searching for my daughter, screaming and crying hysterically. It was of no use. She was gone. I spent the next 2 weeks in bed. The police searched for Christine, but they never found any trace of her. Her picture was in the newspaper. Her face was on milk cartons. Everybody was looking for her. But it was as if she had disappeared into thin air. After a while, people lost interest and the search was called off. It remained just another unsolved mystery. Years have passed since then, but the pain in my heart never goes away. The fear never ends. Such ordinary things make me afraid. Hot sunny days, dark shadows on grass, children with red hair and the name Harry. The Tale of Handprints. One day, a couple went out on a date. They wanted a little bit of privacy, so they drove to a mountain known to be a good spot for young couples. A few hours later, the sun started to go down and they started to head home. Somehow, they made a wrong turn and found themselves on a road they weren't familiar with. It was already late, so they continued down the narrow road until they found themselves in front of a tunnel. They definitely hadn't passed through it on their way in, and it was definitely creepy, but it was the only way they could go. They slowly drove into the tunnel. Bang! As soon as the darkness enveloped the car, something hit the rear window. Startled, the woman turned around to see what it was, but she didn't see anything. There weren't even any other cars behind them. As far as she could tell, they were completely alone in the tunnel. Bang, bang. Her boyfriend began to speed up in an attempt to get out of the tunnel faster. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. It sounded as if dozens of things were striking the car from all directions. The man pressed his foot harder on the gas pedal. They both wanted to get somewhere with people as soon as possible. The tunnel ended after what seemed like an eternity, and shortly thereafter they found their way to a small gas station on the side of the road. The two got out of the car and felt relief as they stood under the bright lights. Just as they were getting ready to get back in the car, the woman noticed that there were handprints all over the windows. They were in all sizes, and there was barely an inch of space on the glass that wasn't covered in handprints. Shaken, they asked the gas station worker to clean the windows for them. The two sat back down in the car and watched as the man quickly got to work on cleaning the windows. As he wiped and scrubbed, the two in the car felt a cold fear creep up their spines. He continued scrubbing all the same, but when he finished all of the windows, he cocked his head to the side and walked up to the driver's side window and knocked lightly. "I'm sorry," he said, "but all these handprints are on the inside." The tale of being friends forever. There were two 15-year-old girls named Alice and Sarah who had been best friends since early childhood. They lived in the same neighborhood, attended the same school, and went to the same classes. In short, they were inseparable. However, they were very different characters. While Alice was cheerful and outgoing, Sarah was very shy and quiet. One day, Sarah and Alice were talking about their friendship. "Do you think we'll be best friends forever?" asked Alice. "I think so," replied Sarah. "Why wouldn't we?" "I don't know," said Alice. "Sometimes when people get older, they grow apart." "I have an idea," said Sarah. "Let's take a blood oath."
"A what?" asked Alice, surprised.
"A blood oath. Look, we both have to swear that we will be BFFs, best friends forever. And if we ever lose touch, we both swear that we will do everything we can to make sure we will be together forever."
"That's nonsense, Sarah," said Alice.
"We won't lose touch. We'll always be together."
But Sarah continued to insist, and with a mixture of amazement and amusement, Alice finally agreed to the proposal. Sarah found two needles and handed one to Alice. The girls took a piece of paper and wrote, "Best friends forever," on the top and then signed their names at the bottom. They lit a candle and heated the tips of the two needles in the flame. Taking their needles, both girls pricked their index fingers and each smeared a drop of blood next to their signature. Their blood oath was now sealed. As the years passed, the girls grew up and left school. Alice went away to college in another city, while Sarah stayed in their hometown and got a job in a local store. Both of them got boyfriends and fell in love. The girls still kept in touch by phone, calling each other at least once a week. When Alice had completed her law degree, she got a good job and decided to get married. The couple bought a house and settled down. A few years later, they had a beautiful baby boy. Alice became so busy with her family that she rarely found time to call Sarah. It wasn't long before the phone call stopped completely, and the friends lost touch with each other. Although Alice would sometimes still think about her best friend from her youth, she never took the trouble to pick up the phone and call her. In the end, life had led the two women down different paths, and they had not seen each other since they left school. One night, Alice had a horrible nightmare. She was driving along an endless highway when suddenly a truck in front of her began to swerve into her lane. The truck skidded and then collided with her car. She woke up suddenly, soaked in sweat. Just as she was trying to calm herself down, she heard her front doorbell ringing. She glanced at the clock by her bedside and realized it was after 3 a.m. Her husband was fast asleep on the other side of the bed. At that moment, the doorbell rang again, insistently. Wondering who could be coming to visit at that time of night, Alice got up, threw on her nightgown, and went downstairs. When she opened the front door, she was shocked to see a woman standing on the porch. The woman was terribly pale, extremely haggard, and had a huge bleeding wound on her forehead. Although she had changed a lot, Alice recognized her immediately. It was her old friend, Sarah. "Oh my God, Sarah, what happened?" she cried. Sarah just stared at her. "Come in out of the rain," said Alice. "Are you hurt?" Sarah didn't move from where she was. "What's wrong, Sarah?" pleaded Alice. "Long time no see, Alice," hissed Sarah. "I've come to fulfill my promise. I've come to tell you I died." Alice was speechless. Sarah held up her hand and pointed at Alice with her index finger. Her finger was dripping blood. "Life has separated us," Sarah continued. "But we will be together in death. I'll be waiting." Alice fainted and collapsed on the ground. The next morning when Alice woke up, she found that she was lying in bed next to her husband. She rubbed her eyes and wondered if the events of last night had all been just a bad dream. At breakfast, she turned on the television. What she saw chilled her to the very bone. The local newscaster was saying that the night before, at exactly 3 a.m., there had been a fatal, tragic accident. A truck had collided with a car on the highway. The driver of the car had been killed on impact. The driver of the car was a woman named Sarah. From that moment on, Alice's life became a living hell. She barely ate a thing. She forgot to pick up her child from school. And when she went to work, she couldn't concentrate on her own job. Every night, she had the same terrible dream. She would awake to the sound of the front doorbell ringing. She would open the door and find Sarah standing there, her bloody index finger pointing straight to Alice. Each time, she said the same thing. "I'll be waiting." Each morning, Alice awoke in a cold sweat. She looked down and her bedsheets would be streaked with blood. She felt an excruciating pain in her finger, and when she looked, her finger was covered in blood. Her husband did not understand what was happening. He took his wife to see a doctor and a psychiatrist, but neither of them could find any explanation. Alice's condition only grew worse. And in her nightmares, she began seeing Sarah standing at her bedside, pointing with her bloody finger. One night, the husband was awakened by a dreadful noise. It was the sound of breaking glass. He ran out to the bathroom and discovered that the window was broken. Peering outside, he saw Alice lying on the sidewalk, her limbs askew. The horrified man rushed downstairs and out the front door. There was a pool of blood around his wife's head. Beside her, on the pavement, someone had written in her blood, "Friends forever." the tail of black hair. There was a Japanese man who had grown tired of his wife. When they had gotten married, she was the most beautiful girl he had ever seen, with long black hair, beautiful brown eyes, and soft skin. However, over the years, her looks had faded and she had grown fat. Her face had become wrinkled. He realized that he wasn't attracted to her anymore and decided to leave her. The man told his wife he wanted a divorce and promptly moved out of the house. He rented an apartment in the city and took to visiting bars and clubs in search of a new romance. It wasn't long until he met a stunningly beautiful young girl. She was only 18 years old, tall, slim, with long flowing blonde hair. He was instantly smitten, and within a few weeks, he had asked her to marry him. The blonde girl accepted, and after they got married, she moved in with him. However, as soon as the ring was on her finger, the blonde girl's behavior changed. Before the wedding, she had been sweet, pleasant, and polite. But now her attitude was hard, mean, and rude. She was very vain and seemed to spend hours in front of the mirror, applying makeup and gazing at her own reflection. She was also very demanding and made him spend all of his money on her. She forced him into buying her new clothes, new jewelry, new gadgets, and a new car. One day, the man came home and took a good look at his new wife. All of the makeup, the eyeliner, the mascara, and the eyeshadow only hid the ugliness inside. He began to wish he had never married her. As the years went on, the man started longing for his old wife. She may have been old and overweight, but she had been a caring and considerate person. He cried when he remembered her soft voice, her gentle smile, and her internal patience. He had regretted the day he had divorced her. He gradually realized that he still loved his first wife. He loved her more than he could ever love the blonde woman. He began to understand how he had thrown away the only woman who had ever truly loved him. Sometimes, in his dreams, he would see his old wife sitting alone in her room, her long black hair covering her face. Late at night, he would ask himself how she was living, and what was she doing. Would she ever take him back? One night, after a bitter argument, he decided that he had endured enough. He couldn't take it anymore and left his blonde wife. He left the city and made a long journey back to his old wife's house. When he reached the street where they used to live, it was already late at night. The house looked deserted. Tall weeds were growing in the garden and the windows were cracked and broken. Tiles were missing from the roof, and the walls looked as if they hadn't been painted in years. He knocked on the front door, but no one answered. Then, he tried the handle and found that the door wasn't locked. He walked inside and found the rooms empty and silent, a chilly wind blowing through the broken windows. Going upstairs, he opened the door to the bedroom and was startled to see his wife sitting there on the bed. He ran to her, embraced her in his arms, and cried on her shoulder. Through the tears, he told her how much he had missed her over the years and begged her to forgive him for leaving her. Her face was covered by her long black hair, but he heard her sweet voice whispering in his ear. She told him, "I'm glad you came back to me," she said, "if only for a moment." "Only for a moment," he replied with a laugh. "I'm back for good. Now we can spend the rest of our lives together." He brushed the hair from her face and leaned in to kiss her. But when he opened his eyes, he screamed in horror. Her face was a dirty, moldering skull. To his horror, he realized that what he was clutching in his arms was nothing but a sack of dusty old bones and long, stringy black hair. The man scrambled to his feet and tossed the bones away from him in disgust. He stood there in the dim light, shuddering as a sickening feeling spread throughout his body. He ran downstairs and out the front door. On the street, he found a neighbor and demanded to know who lived in the old broken down and abandoned house. "There is no one living in that house now," said the neighbor. "Years ago it belonged to a woman whose husband left her. He divorced her in order to marry another woman. She was so distraught that she killed herself soon afterwards.